Friends, good morning. It's a pleasure to see you. We're thrilled that you are here. Especially, we're grateful for those of you who have chosen to be here, who've not been here before, or who are here for the first time in a while. Thank you for joining us. Just a few announcements before we begin. Second hour today, our Christian Education Hour that begins at 11:30 in the lounge, features a presentation by the remarkable Marissa Alanese, who is basically serving as missionary to Amos Health and Hope in Nicaragua this year. She's back with us to share how that work is going, how she's doing. It will be a wonderful thing. She'll be speaking briefly in this service today. Please join us in the lounge at 11:30. Next Sunday, following worship, we will be having our annual financial meeting, a kind of business meeting that we do, always preceded by a fantastic lunch. You would think that a church business meeting about money would be at best boring and at worst contentious, full of fighting, etc. But the way we do it here at First Baptist Church Ann Arbor is to have just a boatload of fun. And there's laughter in it and affirmation and something not far from cheering. Because of the kind of church this has been and is committed to be, we hope you'll join us. And there is a note in the insert about what we hope you would bring by way of contribution to the buffet, if you can. Astrid, were you wanting to add to the...
Yeah, it's on the 27th.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It is not next week. It is 2 weeks from today. That would have been terrible if people had shown up with food next week, 2 weeks from today. Thank you. Last week at the end of the service, baskets were handed out with stars in them. And people who were here were to pick out one without looking at the bottom side. There was a word on the bottom side that we were to take and use for our own reflection for the coming week and even for the coming year. If you were not here, did not get one of these, you'll find a basket on the information counter. You're invited to take a star. When we sing a hymn later in the service, our middle hymn, which is an insert in your bulletin, we're going to sing it three times. The number is three. Would you join me now, please, in the responsive call to worship? But now, thus says the Lord, who created you and formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by name, you are mine. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Please stand if you are able for the invocation. Heavenly Father, the trees that adorned our living rooms a couple of weeks ago are now on the curb. And most of our neighbors have stopped turning on Christmas lights at dusk. Winter has arrived. And today someone here is hurting. Someone is anxious. Someone feels alone. Someone is struggling to see the way ahead. We need your presence this morning. The presence. The spirit that hovers over the darkness. The voice that proclaims we are your beloved. The heart that moves you to seek us when we're lost, vulnerable, and ashamed. And the embodied word who joins us in our hour of need and walks with us through the fire. Breathe on us. Take hold of us. Fall fresh on us. Abide with us. We ask this in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare.
In the temple of all high glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as King forever.
May the Lord give us strength.
May the Lord bless us with peace.
Missionary in Nicaragua with our mission partner Amos Health and Hope. I want to thank you for all you have done to get me there and to support me on my journey. While other national and international organizations have cut back services or left Nicaragua in the midst of the ongoing humanitarian crisis there, Amos and their community health workers and staff are working harder than ever to continue improving the health and well-being of rural communities during this difficult time. Shortly after I moved to Nicaragua in September, I went to a friend's house for the weekend. I ended up at her cousin's graduation party, where she introduced me to various members of her family, telling them I worked with her at Amos and had come to Nicaragua to volunteer there for a year. At one point in the night, after good conversation, tacos, and even margaritas, one of her uncles asked me, "Why are you here?" I reiterated that I was there to volunteer in fundraising and communications with Amos for a year. He looked me right in the eye and he said, "Yes, but why did you come here? Don't you know there's a crisis here right now?" I said, "Yes, I know. Amos is serving the most vulnerable, and I'm helping them translate and communicate the essential healthcare work that they do each day." But then he said, "Well, what's the point? Why would anyone in the U.S. care about us?" And I think I responded about how that was the heart of my mission, helping others understand the importance of sharing health and hope there right now. But he had a point. I had noticed that the most up-to-date news about Nicaragua was all in Spanish, not picked up by news outlets in the States. I had noticed that most people to whom I talked about Nicaragua had no idea what was going on there. I am an outsider. I am doing what I can to help, but in the back of my mind, I recognize that I carry with me immense privilege. In the back of my mind, I know that if violence escalates, I can pay for a taxi to the airport, purchase a plane ticket, and comfortably fly back to my home in the U.S. But I see the ways in which the crisis deeply affects my Nicaraguan friends, affects the day-to-day mentality of the people around me. Their friends, who have so bravely fought for justice, have been sought out for speaking their minds. Their family members, who have so bravely fought for justice, have been detained. Can you imagine surrendering everything to fight for a better life for yourself? Sacrificing yourself to fight for a better life for your people? And then being imprisoned? separated from your family, detained, left powerless, clinging to the hope of freedom? Can you imagine knowing things need to change, but being stuck in a situation far bigger than yourself? Fearing for your safety if you tried to fight back? Feeling angry? Feeling guilty? What do you do? What can you do? God says, "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God is with the people of Nicaragua, and God is with us. We do not face this alone. Our faith cannot be overpowered. We have faith because we believe in the promise of peace and of renewed humanity. We have faith because we believe in the hope of a world that's different from the world we live in right now. We believe that world can exist. So how do we, in the here and now, take our privilege, take our faith, and rise up to help the most vulnerable? How do we lead a life driven by hope, working towards the light and the justice that our world so desperately needs? During second hour today, I invite you to learn with me more about the crisis in Nicaragua, about how Amos is continuing to serve nearly 70,000 people there, and about how you too can rise up and be empowered by hope. We at Amos have high hopes for 2019. We hope to respond effectively to emerging needs during the crisis. We hope to continue to serve the most vulnerable. We hope to be able to work towards our vision of health for all. But we need action to transform these hopes into realities. At Amos, we see hope in action every day, working alongside our community health workers, who, despite their own fears and anxieties, have not ceased for a moment to offer health care to the most vulnerable people in their communities. And God sees hope in action in you. God gives us permission to take risks. God gives us the strength to be vulnerable. And God gives us the courage to persist. When we are empowered by hope, we can work towards the world that we dream about. A world where no person dies from a preventable cause. A world where there is health for all, justice for all, peace for all, hope for all. Thank you for sharing your love, your support, your prayers, and your hope.
Thank you.
reading from Isaiah 43, written to a people in despair, to a people questioning whether or not God would fulfill his promises. But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned. The flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The word of the Lord.
Now will you pray with me, please? O holy God, we have wakened to another morning, and now by the power of your blessing, we live another day. And we are warm enough. We have more than enough to eat. There are wonderful people who love us and people whom we dearly love. And in this church, we are part of a vital community that lives in shared good purpose. It is the great truth of our lives that they are held in the beauty of constant grace. Deliver us then from forgetfulness and from the dishonesty of living ungrateful lives. When our days feel difficult Awaken us, please, to how fortunate we are when we find the weather a nuisance. May it call us vividly to remember that the weather is for many not a nuisance, but abject misery and threat to life. Cause us never to forget the poor, the mentally ill, the abused, the abandoned. May we never forget what good fortune is for. We pray today for our church. We are thankful for the inspiration, the friendship, and the bond of servanthood that we share. Keep us always far removed from self-satisfaction. Increase our passion for Christ and for serving Christ together. Deepen our devotion. Broaden our embrace of all who suffer society's exclusion. Let our prayers burn with holy desire. Make our witness to your love more creative, more generous, and bold. May we more truly find our freedom and our joy. We pray now for these. For Peter Beauvais, Jean Evie, Charlie Duke, Joan and Lynn Blunt, for Stacy, Wilma Duke, Doris George, Bill McKeachy, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Anna Kirstein, Peter Mortensen, Saw Nay Lynn, Judy Stratman, Tara Jim Barsky, Liz and Micah Dalton, Robert L., for Marissa, for Kate Myers, Rebecca Levinson, the family of Elena Flores, for Jesse Frame, for Jim Terrace, Charles, for Gloria, Carol, Dawn, for David, Nee, Tim and Theona, and for the children at Tornillo, Tent City. Now we offer each of us our silent prayers. O strong and compassionate God, open our eyes now more fully to you. Liberate us from all that keeps us from being fully alive, and use our lives for your love's sake, in our world, in your world. In the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand with me for the reading of our gospel. This is the gospel according to Luke. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened. and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The word of the Lord. You may be seated, and I invite the children forward for Time as Children as all of us sing, and I think as the children dance.
God saying somebody's name and saying, "You are my child." We heard it with Jesus after Jesus is baptized. The Holy Spirit comes in like a dove and says, God says through the Holy Spirit, "You are my child. And with you I am pleased." I love that image. Ingrid, "You are my child," God says. Katarina, "You are my child," God says. Elise, Teresa, each one of you. And then we heard Marissa say that we hear that from God, that we are God's children, and then God says, "Now, go do something about it." Right? Action is the word she used. Go do something about it. And God did the same thing with Marissa. "Marissa, you are my child, and I'm pleased with you. Now go do something about it." And she did. She's in Nicaragua living there. And we get to be partners with her in that and with those who live in Nicaragua. And I want to show you a project we're going to be working on. Do you recognize this? A toothbrush. Good, good. Do you recognize this? Oh, good. Good. Yes, we get to be partners with Marissa and all those who are working in Nicaragua already, and a team of grown-ups who are going to go there in a couple months. They're going to do the important work of sharing with children, spending time with kids, and talking about the importance of brushing teeth, and then giving them a gift. And we get to be part of getting the gifts together, gathering the gifts. So we are going to start over the next 2 months gathering toothbrushes and toothpaste and keeping track of how much we have. Guess how many toothbrushes we need to gather? 50. 50, good guess, times 2. 100. We're going to try to gather 100 toothbrushes and the exact same number of toothpaste. And we're going to keep track. You guys are going to help me keep track on a bulletin board out in the hallway. Okay? That's our way this next month to do after God says to us, "You are my child. Now go do something about it." Okay? Let's pray together. And then we're going to sing one more time, and we get to move one more time because we get to sing the congregational song twice today. And then if you're in second grade and younger, you'll go to church school, and third through fifth graders, we stay in worship today for second Sunday. All right? So let's pray. Can you put your hands up really tall like you're a tube of toothpaste? Oh. Dear God, we thank you for our friends in Nicaragua. We thank you for Marissa. We thank you for Jesus and that you have called us all by name. We are your children, and you want us to do something about it. May we be generous. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Let's go dance.
Will you pray with me? God of beginnings, God of goodness, God of the first day, God of this day, God of all that is broken, God of all redemption, and God who calls us by name and helps us rise, be in my words now. Be in our hearts always, and raise us to walk in newness of life. Amen. I've learned a lot over the last year about how desperately powerless a person can feel in the face of disaster. I've learned a lot over the last year about how the very systems and institutions that are supposed to be there to help in such situations can instead further disempower and depersonalize us. I've learned a lot over the last year about how the worst kind of powerlessness is not the kind that has to do with my own life, but with the lives of the people I love the most. And I have learned that sometimes powerless can feel less like a temporary state of being and more like an identity. Who are you really if you don't have any power over your life? The Bible has a lot to say about power, and it also has a lot to say about identity and the relationship between the two. Our story starts in the beginning. It begins with God, but it also begins with chaos, watery, black nothingness, Genesis tells us, fathomless dark, the void. And what is that void? Is it power? Is it lack of power? Is it unrealized power and potential? The story doesn't say. It just invites us to imagine there at the beginning the emptiness, the nothingness. And over this deep, dark void, the Spirit of God hovers, and then a voice. God speaks, and with a word, creates. Let there be light, God says, and there is light. God speaks the universe into being with a word, and then God sees that it is good. It is very good. And each day unfolds like that. God speaks the world into existence, and it is good. Naming is an act of creation. What we call things has the power to shape what they actually become. And the names we are called, or that we call ourselves, also have that power. If our experiences tell us we are powerless, if the stories we replay in our heads call us powerless, then how can we be anything more? It might not be far from the truth to say that the whole story of Scripture is a creation story. The naming of new realities. The making and remaking of the world. A story that continues to take hold and play out in our own lives too. This morning's gospel story, the baptism of Jesus, is itself a kind of creation story. And like all good creation stories in the Bible, it involves someone being named. This time, it's Jesus. He comes to the River Jordan, where John is baptizing people. The people there are getting washed in the river, turning from their old ways, rising from the waters to embrace a new life. Luke tells us that the people there were filled with expectation. They were there at the river's edge, looking for something, hoping for something, needing something new to happen in their lives. The four Gospels never explain why Jesus went looking for baptism too. What did he need to turn from? They never explain, but they all agree that he did get baptized. Luke's focus is not so much on the baptism itself, but on what happens next. He tells us that after all the people had been baptized, and after Jesus also had been baptized, Jesus was praying. Luke is the only one of the four gospel writers to tell us this detail. In his gospel, it is the first thing Jesus does after coming up out of the water. And throughout his gospel, Luke will continue to show us Jesus at prayer. In this instance, while he is praying, the heavens open, the Holy Spirit descends upon him like a dove, and a voice comes from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." There are things that will happen after this moment that will make it look like this man is not beloved at all. There are things that will happen after this moment that will make him look for all the world like a powerless victim. There are names people will call him that do not match the one he is given there at the river. And one day, this man will be nailed to a cross, and over his head, his executioners will hang a mocking sign with a name that says, "King of the Jews." But none of that will erase the truth of the words God speaks over his life at the river: "Beloved, pleasing Son." Jesus rose from the waters to that name, and he would spend the rest of his life rising from that name, knowing who he was and what he came for. The power to create was in that voice from heaven. It was in those words. It was in that naming. And that same power would send Jesus forward in freedom and with courage to love, to serve, to teach, to listen, to heal, to lay down his life. Jesus knew who he was, and so he knew his power. And because of that, he had no need to prove himself. He had no need to defend himself. He had no need to try to control people or even circumstances. He had no need to exercise any power but love. The name God pronounced over him there at the river would be the undoing of all mocking claims others would make. And it is by that name that all destructive powers are defeated. He knew exactly who he was: beloved, pleasing, Son of God. So he lived by the power of it. And after rising to his name, after rising to his power, here is how he used that power. He laid himself down. He laid himself down in human life with us and alongside us and for us. He showed us that true power gives instead of grasps. True power comes alongside others to empower them too, rather than imposing itself on others to strip others of their control. True power is not afraid to get down into the mess and the chaos of human life. True power comes from knowing that its beginning is love, and its end is love, and that everything in between can be love. In other words, true power starts with knowing oneself as beloved. And the end of true power, the whole point of it, is to extend that belovedness to all. In true power, which is to say, in true love, Jesus laid himself down for our sakes, and then he lifted us up. He lifted us and lifts us still into the reality of our true identity. His name, our name, beloved, pleasing, child of God. Those words are ours. Those words come not because we're perfect, but because we're loved. Not because we're good, but because we're loved. They come not as an approval of our hard work and success, but as the ground of our being. They come not as the goal of what we're trying to do, of who we're trying to become, but as the beginning of who we already are, in the beginning, beloved. The words are not something we are trying to achieve, something instead we have to choose to believe. Child of God, beloved, that's you, that's me, that's power. But how can we believe that? How can we rise to our true identity, which is our true power? When our experiences tell us we are powerless, when the institutions we deal with seem to actively dismantle the power we do have, when the voices in our heads tell us that we're not enough, how can we believe otherwise? How can we trust the name God has already given us? We could start the way Jesus did, with prayer, taking the time to connect with the source of our power, the one who gives us our true name. The way Luke tells the story, Jesus praying was not anything elaborate. There was nothing magical about it. He didn't have to go anywhere special. He didn't have to say specific things in order for it to be a real prayer or a right prayer. He just did it as a matter of course. It was a habit. If you're looking for one small, practical way to recreate your day, your year, your life, here's a place to start. Prayer. You can call it meditation if you're afraid of seeming too pious. It's okay. It doesn't matter what you call it, or probably even how you do it. What matters is that we just try to open our hearts and our minds to the present moment and God's presence in it, and the reality of who He has created us to be. Another way we can nurture our trust in our true name is by nourishing our memory. That's actually part of why we gather together here each week, to hear our stories again, our real stories, our creation stories, so we can remember again who we are. There are certain stories from Scripture that are so important to us that we tell them again every year. The story of Jesus' birth, the story of his death and resurrection. But this one that we heard today, the story of his baptism, that's another one that's so important. We tell and hear it again every January, a new beginning. The story of how he rose up out of muddy waters and heard his real name shouted from the heavens, Beloved. We come here to listen to stories that remind us who we really are. The other 167 hours a week, we have a lot of opportunity to forget. And we have a lot of opportunity to rehearse other old stories that don't tell the real truth. It's easy then to start to think our true identity is our job, or our role at home, or our success or failure. It's easy to think of ourselves primarily as busy, or tired, or hurting, or afraid. We replay the stories of our failures and our fears. We have to hear the real stories. We have to hear the stories of our power and of how deeply loved we are, and of how we are the children of the God who created the cosmos. These are the stories we have to hear and remember if we're going to be empowered by our true names and live their truth. These moments we spend together each Sunday, this is our beginning again, our new beginning, our chance again and again to claim and be claimed by the truth. But what do we do for all those other minutes and hours when we are not in church and we are not at prayer? How can we believe in our power and our name when so much in us and around us runs counter to the truth of who we are and who we're meant to be? That's where our community comes in. Our power was never meant to be a solitary thing. We're not called to be heroes. We're called to be community. Beloved is the name each one of us wears, but it is also our name together. The beloved community is who we're meant to be. And we are crucial to each other. We are crucial to helping each other claim that true shared identity and power. So we have to commit. We have to give ourselves to the ongoing work of speaking that truth to each other. You are beloved. We have to give ourselves to the work of not just speaking it, but showing that truth in action to each other. You are so loved. Over this past year, when I've learned so much about the limits of my power over the circumstances of my life and the lives of others, the biggest thing I have learned is the depth of strength and power that comes simply from being well-loved by others. It is a power that is not about changing unchangeable circumstances, but about rising up within any circumstance together. And I can tell you for a fact that this kind of power, the power that comes from being loved by and within community, this power is life-changing. And if all of us would commit to it, it would be world-changing. 4.5 years ago, I took a group of teenagers and parents to Nicaragua for our first trip to work with Amos Health and Hope. Our first weekend there, we traveled to the little town of Nandasmo and went to an outdoor church service there where Pastor Ricardo was preaching and then baptizing several teenagers in this outdoor concrete baptismal pool. There were lots of us. Well, there were a few of us and lots of the people there, and we all pressed up around this baptistry so that we could witness the baptism. And we watched as each teenager, one by one, climbed up and over the side of the pool and into the water with Pastor Ricardo. We listened to Pastor Ricardo's words. We sang together. We prayed. And one by one, these teenagers went under the waters, buried with Christ in faith, raised to walk in newness of life. It was beautiful. There was so much joy and excitement and expectation and celebration. And then at the end, one person came forward who was not an energetic teenager. She was an older woman, and she seemed afraid. She was helped over into the pool with Pastor Ricardo, and she seemed to be trembling. He said his baptismal words over her, and he started to dunk her, to baptize her, and she resisted. She was too scared to go under the water. Apparently, she couldn't swim, and she was frightened, and it looked like she wanted to cry. So he tried again. He soothed her. He explained to her that it was okay. It was going to be so brief. All she had to do was hold her breath and let herself go under. He said the baptismal words. He started to dip her under the water, and she resisted. She was so scared. So he started over again, and he tried again, and she refused again, and he tried again, and she refused again. This woman was not going to go under the water. Every time it was time, she just couldn't do it. She kept trying to believe the pastor. She kept trying to believe what he was telling her, that everything would be okay. She understood rationally that it was all right. But sometimes, understanding a thing rationally and trusting your life with it are two very different things. Here is how that woman was finally baptized. Pastor Ricardo wrapped his arms all the way around her. He pulled her in and held her close. He prayed with her. He said his baptismal words. And then, with both his arms still around her, he plunged under the water with her. They went under together. They rose up together. That's what true power is. That's what true power does. It comes alongside. It companions. It wraps loving arms around others. It plunges into the difficulty with. Not to fix, not to control, but to accompany, to love, and to rise together to one true name. Beloved, that's who you are. in response to our true name. We do what we have the power to do, and we give what we have the power to give, with freedom, courage, boldness, and joy. Take these gifts, take our lives, take our church, and use them all for the purposes of your love in our world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
As beloved children of God, we have the privilege and responsibility of speaking truth to each other and to the world, including the truth of this. The peace of Christ be with you.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you.
May God's face shine upon you. May God be gracious to you.
May God be gracious.